Thank you again for joining us on Christmas Eve. In one of the last days of 2020, we all need to give ourselves a pat on the back for surviving. Then take a deep breath and brace yourselves for 2021. I think you'd agree that 2020 will go down in infamy, not only because of COVID-19, but because of the U.S. election. Officials at each other's throats, vitriol in the news, diatribes on Twitter, maybe even arguments at dinner tables. Disagreements about the presidential office. Some do not like the one leaving the White House. Others do not like the one entering the White House. Some do not like either of them. Maybe you're sick of promises made and promises broken. Yet, like rubberneckers near a car wreck, we can't look away. But political angst, exaggerations, and empty promises are nothing new. Let me take you back 2 millenniums, a few years before Jesus' birth. In modern-day Turkey, near the Aegean Sea, are ruins of a city named Priene. If you were to visit there, you'd see high-quality Hellenistic art and architecture, the Temple of Athena, a sanctuary for Zeus, a theater, an agora. Though relatively a small city, you'd also find remnants of political districts where the local government operated. And if you're a real political history nerd, you'd look closer and locate what's known as the Priene calendar inscription, written in honor of Caesar Augustus. It's called calendar inscription because it justified the Roman decree to start a new calendar based on the emperor's birthday. I've included a translated portion in the bulletin. Please follow along as I read it. Since Providence, which has ordered all things and is deeply interested in our life, has set in most perfect order by giving us Augustus, whom she filled with virtue that he might benefit humankind, sending him as a savior, both for us and for our descendants, that he might end war and arrange all things. And since he, Caesar, by his appearance, excelled even our anticipations, surpassing all previous benefactors, and not even leaving to posterity any hope of surpassing what he has done. And since the birthday of the god Augustus was the beginning of the good tidings for the world that came by reason of him, and on and on. A scholar named Craig Evans has noted the similarities between the contents of this inscription with the words that begin the Gospel of Mark. I'll get to the word Savior in a minute. But first, look at the words towards the end of the quote. God was the beginning of good tidings. And now look at Mark 1:1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Italics and underlines indicate general agreement in meaning. Bold print indicates even closer agreement down to the part of speech and number. What's the point here? Evans believes Mark is inviting his readers to compare Jesus with the most powerful ruler of the day, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. He wants all to see that Jesus is better than the best that the world offers. But while Mark begins with Jesus' adult life, we can dial back the clock further. As I read Luke 2:8-13, pay attention to the parallels between it and the inscription. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Again, italics and underlines indicate general agreement in meaning. Bold print indicates even closer agreement down to the part of speech and number. Between the Priene inscription, Mark and Luke, there's the overlapping mention of good tidings or news, evangelion, or the gospel. But uniquely between the inscription and Luke, there's the mention of soter, Savior. In the former, Providence sent Augustus as Savior. In the latter, God sent Jesus as Savior. The citizens of Priene are told Caesar would benefit humankind. The shepherds near Bethlehem are told Christ would bring goodwill toward men. Politicians wish that an emperor would end war and arrange all things. Christians know that our Lord will finally bring peace on earth. This is what we believe. The Bible takes our eyes off of the fallible leaders of today. Our eyes are on Jesus, and upon his shoulder is the everlasting government. He has already surpassed what Augustus has done. Whereas the earthly kingdoms are rooted out and pulled down, destroyed and thrown down, we are looking forward to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's okay to feel homeless here, politically speaking. As pilgrims heading to heaven, we can wholeheartedly say, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." Do you want the assurance that no matter what happens, our place in heaven is secure? Hear the good tidings Jesus, our Savior, brings. God loves us and created us to enjoy a relationship with him. But each of us has turned our backs on him. We refuse to submit to his kingship, and that's the beginning of our troubles. That's sin. He has every right to exclude us from his kingdom because he sets the standard for entrance. We chose willingly hell on earth to die while living, and it's just a prelude of what's to come. But God who loves us and created us is the same God who saves us. He sent his son Jesus on earth to live a perfect life. Unlike benefactors who are all talk, Jesus laid down his life on the cross. There he took the consequences of our sins and paid for them in full. To prove that he has truly accomplished salvation, he rose from the dead, proved he was truly alive and ascended to heaven. Any day now he'll return and establish that eternal kingdom of heaven on earth. Jesus lovingly invites you, enemies of the state, to become citizens of his kingdom. Come and receive eternal life freely by grace. Turn from yourself self-gratification, self-righteousness, and trust in Jesus, the Savior. I urge you, begin this relationship with Him before it's too late. You'll regret forever if you breathe your last without securing your entrance into heaven. Perhaps this sounds like too much right now. You just came to sing some Christmas carols and hear music. But if you want to talk more later, please use the QR code or link on the bulletin cover to get in touch with us. We offer 6 to 7 week classes to introduce you to Christianity. We also have free Bibles and Christian literature in the lobby. Please take as many as you wish. As we close, please know, this is the story of Christmas. Caesar Augustus was born to royalty in Palatine Hill of Rome, where one historian calls the first nucleus of the Roman Empire. Jesus was born in obscurity in the little town of Bethlehem, not afforded even a room in an inn. But our humble king will return someday, crowned with many crowns. Jesus, he truly is Lord at his birth. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and very often disappointed by what's happening politically, in the society, and in our personal lives. People leave us. People disappoint us. People exalt themselves only to be dragged down, caught in their own words. And Lord, your word is very clear that we are fallible, and even the best of us, or even the best of us like Adam, fell with the perfect environment around him. But we're thankful for your son, the second Adam, who came, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He truly is the Savior. And his coming, first coming and second coming, really is the good tidings to come. And we're thankful for those of us who believe in that good news. And we pray for those who do not understand or refuse to believe, that you would open up their hearts to see the love of Christ. Lord, we're thankful for this evening, that we can be reminded of what you have done by sending your son to us. And we pray in your son's name. Amen.